you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Offsides. I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we're so excited you joined us for yet another week of Offsides Podcast, where we help you get great conversation started and engaging and fun topics to talk about with anyone, whether that be coworkers, family, friends, or a potential date. So let's get started, Andrew. What do we have going on in the sports world?
We've been talking about it for weeks now. We've made bets about it. We've gone back and forth. The NCAA March Madness has concluded for both the men and the women.
Yes, it has.
We've crowned champions on the men's side. Baylor defeated Gonzaga in kind of a blowout fashion.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, they were ahead really the entire game and ended up winning by 16 points. Both number one seeds, so it's not like it was a Cinderella story, but it was quite a story that they won by that big of a margin. A lot of people thought that Gonzaga was a little untouchable this year, but they proved that they could be beat. And then on the women's side, we had Stanford versus Arizona in the final. Came down, Stanford ended up winning by 1 point. Such a close, exciting game, and really just an awesome tournament. We were interested to see how everything would go this year with them just hosting it in one spot, no fans being there, and credit to the NCAA, I would say it was a success.
Yes, that's super exciting. I really got into the women's tournament this year, watching all of the games, cheering for whatever team I felt like would win, mostly the underdogs, but I absolutely loved it. How did your bracket do, Andrew?
The bracket did all right. We talked about last week how I had all the number one seeds going to the Final Four, so I was 50% there because Baylor and Gonzaga both made it to the Final Four. My champion, Illinois, got knocked out early, so I mean, cumulative points, I didn't do all that great. So I feel like I am very deserving of the hot sauce that I am going to eat later.
Yes, I think I had Baylor winning, so that's exciting. For the women's, not so much, but it was still so exciting to watch. I'm intrigued to see how this hot sauce challenge will go for both of us.
Yeah, speaking of watching sporting events, and you said that you were able to watch a lot of the tournament, both men's and women's, fans of the Texas Rangers had an opportunity to watch their team play in person. This was the first time in a long time that a stadium has been at 100% capacity.
I saw all of the Snapchats. I saw everything on Instagram, social media. I actually, funny story, know one of the people that sang at the game. He has a Netflix show called Country Ever After. His name is Coffee Anderson. The show is great. I watched it with my mom. So very fun family entertainment. And he's from Texas. And you guys should check him out. He's on Spotify. But side note.
Yeah, 40,000 plus people in
the same
place. I mean, it's been a long time since that's happened. It's hard to even fathom what that looks like.
Masks or no masks, you know.
It's been so long since I've been to a sporting event, since I've been to a concert, things of that nature. But it's an encouraging sign that we might be back sometime soon to cheering on our favorite sports teams. Are you excited for live sports to come back?
I am. I actually went to one last week. I went and saw the Vegas Golden Knights, and it was so much fun to be in their arena again and to be around a few select people. They're taking precautions very seriously at their arena and where they play, but it was just fun to be back in the environment, to see like the hype team, the cheerleaders, you know, to see players and be physically there and have that energy is just I've missed it, and I cannot wait to go to more.
So now, the T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas, they're at a much lower capacity.
Correct.
They're nowhere near full capacity. They're only a couple thousand fans, and by that I mean probably 4,000 to 5,000, would you guess?
Give or take, yes.
And so you've been to, obviously now, a sporting event during the pandemic and with different regulations, and you've been to Golden Knights games before this.
Yes.
How would you compare, and I think this will be interesting, I think a lot of people will be curious, how sports right now and attending a sporting event compares to being there before? Would you say it sounded different, or was the excitement level different? Kind of just what's your take on pre-pandemic versus right now?
I think I was more excited now, just because I've been craving going to live events and being around other people. It was weird because as soon as the game, it went in a shootout, and unfortunately we lost, but like as soon as the game ended, like they made you leave. Where like normally people are lingering around, chatting, having fun, taking videos, photos, getting all the Instagram pics they can, whereas like as soon as the game's done, get out. I think the energy was exciting. Obviously, when there's more people and there's more heat, you know, you can feel it more. But it's definitely different. Like, there's a difference in, like, seeing, like, all of the hosts of the arena, like, wearing masks as opposed to seeing people's smiles and their full faces. And I wonder if the athletes can feel the difference. Because they've done it with no fans, they've done it with a full stadium, and then they've done it with limited capacity. So I would be more worried about them as opposed to me.
Yeah, I think it definitely depends on what team you are too. I mean, for hockey teams that come and play in Vegas, they talk about what a unique experience it
is.
And if you go to a hockey game in Vegas versus a hockey game in another city, the one in Vegas almost feels like a Vegas show. They have
circ performers between
periods. They have, so I'm sure like when you play in an environment like that every night, it's a little bit different than when you play in a city where, I don't want to say it's a little tampered down in other cities.
But it's true.
It's not as much of a production as it is here in Las Vegas.
I will say, though, they did update their pre-show for the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's so cool what they do. They literally go out into the mountains, into the Red Rocks, and they film this whole elaborate knights fighting knights. And what is their mascot? What kind of animal?
Chance, the Gila monster.
The Gila monster. And it's just so cool. And they always update it. And even though there weren't as many performers and things like that, it was still really fun to watch and to see them change it.
That's awesome. And it's really cool that you had the opportunity to attend a sporting event. And hopefully we're packing stadiums again sometime soon. We got our fingers crossed. But something else that was fun to watch, and I'm not sure if you saw this, it floated around Instagram and Twitter, was Tom Brady and his family went to the Disney parks and ran into Kylo Ren. And for those of you that I'm sure are very familiar with Star Wars, Kylo Ren is a part of the dark side, the evil side of the Star Wars universe. And Kylo Ren is speaking to Tom Brady and asks Tom if he would like to join the dark side.
Oh, no.
If he wants to come and join the dark side. And a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there that don't like Tom Brady, might already argue that he's already a part of the dark side. But
what do you mean by that?
The dark side means, you know, the bad guys, this or that, guys that you want to dislike. I think a lot of people would put Tom Brady in that category.
Okay.
He's a good fighter, this and that. He's at the top. He's at the pinnacle. And usually the dark side, or in a lot of movies, the bad guys end up losing. Tom Brady comes out on top a lot. But anyways, so Kylo Ren asked Tom Brady if he'd like to join the dark side. And Tom Brady turns to the camera and says, "Nah, I'm good. I'm already on a winning team."
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
It was very comical, and it's also adds some excitement because the Disney parks are opening sometime soon. I think April 30th is when Disneyland is slated to open.
Like, fully open.
There's going to be restrictions still in place. It's not going to be the Disneyland of before, but I mean, you're still going to have that magic, and it's going to be the happiest place on Earth.
That's true.
But that video was very funny, and it's just cool when you get these high quality athletes that are so serious in their sport, so dedicated. I mean, when you see Tom on the football field, he's so locked in. So to see that video of him just having fun, goofing around, it reminds you, and I think a lot of times this gets lost in football because people have helmets on, you can't see their faces, that like they're human beings as well. He's a dad. He's someone that's going to go and make these dad jokes on Twitter, on Instagram. Like, I think other sports where you can see players' faces, it's more like you humanize them more. I think sometimes that gets lost with football players just because their face is always covered.
Yes, that's very true. You know, he's a dad, he's a husband, he's a son, and there are so many more aspects to him of just being, you know, the reigning champ of, like, football and things like that. And it's cool to see him in a different element, to see him without a helmet, without his gear on. So I think it's good for his fans and it's good for football to, like, normalize being, like, a human and a regular person and just a dad.
Yeah.
And some good dad jokes.
For sure. And then another elite quarterback, another person that's been in the headlines of the NFL for years now is Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
And he's making headlines now for an interesting way, something that I would never have guessed.
What is it?
Aaron Rodgers would like to be the full-time host of Jeopardy.
Oh dear, that's interesting.
He's a guest host right now. He just hosted, and he will host again for a couple more shows, and then they'll have other guest hosts come on. I know Anderson Cooper is slated to be a guest host, many other celebrities. But Aaron wants to vie for the full-time host of Jeopardy. He says what sets him apart from a lot of the other candidates is he's the biggest fan of the show of all of them. He said he loves the show. He said he's the youngest of all the guest hosts. And he said he brings a new kind of demographic of watchers to the show. He would bring the NFL fans with him. And the question here, though, is can he be a full-time quarterback and a full-time game show host? And he says that he can. He says Jeopardy taped 46 days last year. I have like 178 days out a season. He says I can definitely fit it into my schedule.
That's going to be interesting to see how they do that. And if he does do it full-time, are they not going to have any more celebrities come on there and do the celebrity hosting? And how is he as a host? Like, we don't know. There's a lot of – that's interesting to be up in the air.
He did pretty well in his first guest hosting gig.
Okay.
And someone threw kind of like a jab about the Packers at him, a contestant, and he handled it well. So, I mean, he's pretty elite at the things that he does, and I'm sure he could be pretty elite at being a game show host too. But it'll be interesting to see who gets that full-time job, but Aaron's really vying for it.
Well, I hope he gets his contract signed and his attorney looks over it, and it's all good in the world for him.
Me too. Well, that's the latest in sports. What's going on in the world of pop culture?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, we went through an emotional roller coaster with The Bachelor. And recently spotted was Matt James and the winner, Rachel Kirkconnell. And they were in New York spotted together. And, you know, that sparks a lot of rumors. And I find it very fascinating. Now, I read an article that said, you know, maybe they're not together. But then they both said, and they came out, and they said, no, we're not together, we're just hanging out together. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. My question to you is, have you ever, you know, broken up with an ex? They weren't engaged. They never got engaged. They just decided to keep dating after the show, and then they broke it off. have you ever gotten back with an ex, or have you hung out with an ex with still having feelings? Or how, you know, that's an interesting topic to kind of navigate, where you've been dating someone and you split up and you get back together, or you're just hanging out as friends. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
It's also interesting how, like, that discussion comes up. Like, how do you, what are the circumstances of how you reconnect?
Yes, that is very true.
You ran into each other.
Coincidentally.
Is it that you had maybe a drink or two out at the bar and then you start shooting out DMs? Like, it's funny. But I have hung out with an ex after we broke things off. And it's the classic, we dated in high school, you know, towards the end of high school. Then you go away to college. You come home. It's Thanksgiving break, the classic, you know, hang out with your old high school boo,
like
that. But that is the extent of me coming back and hanging out with an ex, and she is now engaged, she's married and has a child now.
Wow, good for her, that's exciting. Have you ever remained friends with someone that you seriously dated?
No, but that's not like, I'm not a person where it's like, oh, we were exes, we can never speak again. If it ended on bad terms, then yes, I feel like that. But if you dated someone, obviously you liked them, you had a close relationship with them. If things just didn't work out, I don't necessarily think there's a problem with being friendly with an ex. I don't think you should be like texting them or this or that, or but I think like you can be very cordial and friendly with an ex.
Yes. I'm curious to see if they will get back together while they're just hanging out. So we're going to take a vote. Do you or do you not think that they will get back together as they are just hanging out as friends?
Does Matt James have his beard still or no?
That's a good question because the picture was very blurry and I think it was from the behind. So you couldn't see, like, the face.
Alright, I'm gonna say they get back together.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I don't know the time span or the timeline, but I'm gonna say they're gonna get back together. I'm gonna go with you on that. Should we make a bet if they do get back together?
You really like pushing the bets around here.
You know what? It keeps it exciting.
It definitely does, but it's hard here because we're both on the same page. A bet's a lot more fun when we're on opposing sides.
All right, I'll say that they don't get back together, but they remain friends, and that people constantly think that they're going to get back together, but they don't. They're just friends.
All right, we'll think of something good, and whoever's right will be able to inflict some kind of punishment on the person that was wrong.
All right, sounds good to me. And in other news, this was all over social media. I don't know if you know, Andrew, but there was the newest franchise of the Real Housewives TV show and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Her name, she was the queen bee, supposedly, is Jen Shaw. Her husband is a coach for the Utah football team out there, and she got caught in a huge scandal while filming her confessional. The FBI raided her and caught her in a fraud scam. Major, like, scamming elderly people with list of names and for money. Her and her first assistant, not her fifth or her third or her tenth, but her first assistant named Stuart, were caught in money laundering and a major scam that really could potentially hurt her and her family and everything. It was a little sketchy at the reunion. They have a reunion after each season. They asked her what exactly she does for a living because she says she owns a PR firm. But the way she explained it was a little shady. And now, come a couple months later, this all leaks out. You know, she had a district attorney from Salt Lake City and New York, and she was part of a bigger scheme, you know, and money laundering. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. And supposedly, they're going to air it all on the TV show, which that is very interesting to me. Now, my question, follow-up question for that would be, have you ever been, like, scammed? Or is there, like, a go-to, like, do not answer this phone call, don't answer this email? Like, what are some telltale signs that something is a scam for you?
I mean, I have never received the Nigerian prince email looking for me to send him money.
Oh, man!
But the closest thing and the most elaborate the scam that I've been a part of is during college I transferred schools and I transferred in the middle of the school year, so I had already told my roommates that I was going to stay for the year. We got a house together, so I had an obligation to pay for the house for the rest of the year for the time I wasn't going to be there. So I asked them, hey, are you cool if I advertise and look for another roommate to move in with you guys so that way if they move in, they'll take over my portion so I won't pay. And they were like, yeah, we're cool with that. So I took some really nice photos of the house. It was a great house. Posted them on Craigslist and I got a reply.
Ooh.
And it was this girl that wanted to move in.
Interesting.
So I asked the guys, hey, are you cool with this girl moving in? And then things just started to seem like kind of weird. And then I was like getting a weird feeling and I was like, yo, this is going to sound odd, but do you mind sending me some pictures of yourself?
Oh,
like,
okay.
I had to make sure this girl was
not
real.
Not catfishing?
I had to make sure this girl was real. So she sends some pictures. It looks real enough, but then things start sounding weird. She was like, yeah, I'm studying abroad right now, so I'm going to have my car shipped to the house. She was like, I'll send you a check if you can just accept the car, like, coming to the house, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, well, if she sends me a check, like, and I go deposit it in my account, like, I have the money, like, it's fine, so we'll figure it out. But then the check came, things started to seem weird, and I took
it. Did the check bounce?
I took it to the bank, and I told them, hey, I think this is, like, a fake check. I think this is, like, kind of a scam, and the guy looked at me. He was like, "Yeah, the U.S. Bank logo is stretched a little bit."
Oh,
he,
interesting.
He was like, "You probably posted something on Craigslist, and someone replied, and it did." And I was like, "You have a crystal ball, bro."
I was like,
"You just described the exact situation I've been in." So I responded back to the number I had been texting, and I was like, "Hey, I just went to the bank. They said like the check is fake. Like I kind of suspected this." And the only response I got was they texted back, "Fuck." And I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, no.
They were just like, and then I never heard anything back after that.
Well,
so that is the only elaborate scam I would say I have been a part of.
Well, that's very elaborate. They were going to ship a car, you know, and they were setting abroad. Did they say where, like what country they were setting
abroad? I'm sure they did. It was a couple years ago. I forget like those specifics.
Wow. Well, you do know everything. If as long as it's not written in an email or, you know, those phishing emails, always be aware, you know, maybe a housewife trying to scam you. But I'm very excited to see how this, you know, plays out on TV and what they air and what they don't air. And hopefully she doesn't go to jail, but if she needs to, you know, whatever the courts say is justice. And that'll be very interesting to see. Shall we move on to our next topic?
Yeah, you're going to have to tune in to find out. And like you said, I know you're very excited about that. That's right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
This kind of drama,
I
for
love
sure.
The tea.
But it made me, this conversation about money made me think of something interesting. And I want to dive into that today for the bulk of our show, is the expectation when, with a date, with a coworker, we'll cover all different scenarios of paying.
When you
go on a first date, or if you go out to lunch with coworkers. And then I feel like as you get older, it's also an interesting thing when you go out with your parents.
I was like, just going to say.
Yeah, if you let them pay for your meals, or if you buy your own meal. Mm-hmm. So let's start this conversation, and I want to get your perspective. I know you've been on a couple dates lately, uh-huh. So you might have some personal stories here. But when you go on a date, let's say, in this case, a first date, do you have an expectation as a female that your date will pay for your meal or your activity, whatever it is that you're doing?
So, my rule of thumb is if I'm talking to someone and they ask me on a date, they initiated the conversation, they were the one that planned the date, that asked me out, they want to pay. If they're going to ask me out on a date, make all of the plans, the reservations, whatever it may be, and I always, this is just a personal thing, so then we go, and you know, I always get a little awkward when the bill comes, and I always offer, oh, like, we can split it. He goes, no, I invited you out, I will pay. And I respect that. If they're going to take the initiative and they're going to ask me out and plan everything, then I think that's kind of them acknowledging, like, okay, this is me taking care of you, and I respect that. However, if it's like a both conjoined and we're both trying to plan it out and something, I wouldn't mind, not that I wouldn't ever mind, but I wouldn't mind splitting the check, or if it kind of was a different thing, or if maybe it's a little more expensive, or it's like a second or third date, I can understand. But if it's a first date and they ask you and they initiate it and plan everything, I feel that it's only right that the person that initiates it and plans it is the one that will pay.
So if a girl made the plans and asked the guy out, then you would the expectation there would be that the girl would then pay.
Is it the first date though?
Yeah, it's a first date, but say the girl is the one that initiates the date, because you said whoever creates the date per se,
you know,
is the one that should pay for the date. See, when you flip it into those terms, it kind of changes your thinking.
It does. That's tough too. If you put it like that, I guess, but I always kind of think, like, if it's, like, a male and female, I always think it's polite if the male offers. Now, if you decide to split it or whatever, but if the male offers to pay, like, why are you going to say no? Like,
right.
I think it's respectful. It's like, no, I want to take you out. And
right.
Even if she plans and he says that, too, like, that would make me want to date you more. Go on a second date.
So, as a guy, my expectation,
yes, I want to hear this,
on a first date is that I am going to pay. That's just who I am. That's kind of, you know, how, like, I was raised. Like, if you're going on a first date as a guy, I know that I'm going to pay. But I do appreciate, like, if the girl is like, hey, do you want to split it? Like, the offer is nice. I'm always going to say no. I'm yes. always going to pay for it.
That's good,
but
though.
But it is kind of strange, and I've been in a situation where, like, the bill comes out, and, like, the girl just, like, sits there and it looks. Like, it's just waiting for you to put your card in there, which is fine. That was my plan anyways. And usually when it comes, I just try and put the card in there real quick and give it right back so that, like, because I know, like, it's an awkward situation for the guy, the girl, yeah. everyone. So just, like, if I can get it done quickly and then the girl's not sitting there, like, the longer that the little closed black book sits there on the table,
yeah.
the more awkward tension there is.
Now, how do you feel? So, like, after, like, it's all paid for, it's all done, you're still talking, you're having a drink. And, like, do you expect, like, thank you so much, like, I really appreciate it, and, like, plan for the next day? Or kind of just, like, doesn't say anything? You know, like, you know, some people, like, I'm always like, thank you so much, like, you don't have to appreciate it, and then, like, kind of leads me up to, we should go hang out again type of thing. Or do you, like, a thank you, and then they don't say anything, you're like, ooh, I just paid for something, and, like, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of awkward, and we talked, last week I talked about the first date I went on, and how things just kind of, like, it was good, but things just kind of tailed off. You could tell it wasn't going to work out, so, like, then it's awkward, like, yeah, I just paid, like, I'm glad we came here together, but, like, yeah, it's like, where do we go from here now? But, so, I definitely appreciate when there's, like, an offer, and then also afterwards, like, yeah, definitely a
thank you,
and, like, this was a good time, blah, blah, blah. But, as a guy, and I think if you're able to do it, everyone's financial situation is different, but as a guy, I think you should expect to pay for the first date.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say, as a guy, your first date should not be the most elaborate thing. It should be a highly expensive restaurant, because number one, that's a big bill to pay for someone that you're just going out with for
yeah.
the first time. Like we said, you don't necessarily know, is it going to work out?
Yeah.
Is it not?
It's a lot of expectations.
And you are setting the expectation pretty high for
yes.
like your other dates. If you're going to a 5-star restaurant on your first date, like, how are you ever going to go to Cafe Rio on your second or third date? You
yeah,
know?
Or like In-N-Out. Like, I would love to go to In-N-Out. Maybe not a first date, but then, like, you go from there to...
Right, exactly. But I would say, yeah, if you do something that is, you know, semi-casual or semi-formal, that's real nice. But I would not say ball out on your first date unless you are sure that that is the one.
Okay, I like that. Now, moving on to the other side, let's say coworkers, doesn't matter, gender does not matter. A coworker says, hey, Andrew, like, let's go grab some food. All right, cool, I'll drive. So you're in the car, you pick the place, and then you both order, and your friend just pays for it. What do you do next?
Did I drive?
No. Your coworker drove.
My coworker drove and bought me my meal?
Yes.
Man, they really like me.
I guess they.
Because with my friends, we used to have the rule of thumb is I fly, you buy. So I drive, you pay.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Depending on where we're going.
True.
If we're going to just grab something real quick, that rule applies. But if we're going somewhere a little bit nicer where the meal's going to be a little bit more expensive, I just spent like 72 cents in gas. I don't expect you to buy me my $10 meal.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an interesting one with a coworker, and it definitely, there's so much that goes into this, because there's coworkers that you're close with.
Yes.
There's coworkers that you're friends with outside of work. There's coworkers that you just have a working relationship with. There's coworkers that you're work friends with. And
your boss.
Exactly.
Or someone higher up in the wherever you're working.
Exactly. And I think that's the most interesting one is when someone that you know, someone is your boss or someone that you know has a higher role than you, like, you know, financially, they're probably getting paid more by the company than you are. So then it's weird because you're like, buying lunch for you, like, isn't necessarily as big of a deal as it would be if I was buying. If you're buying lunch for me, it's not as big a deal versus me buying lunch for you.
Yeah.
So then it's strange, like, when your boss buys you lunch, because you're like, do I return the favor? Like, I don't want to leave them out to dry.
Or I don't want
like
them
that.
To expect that they always have to pay for me because they're getting paid more. Right. I think if you offer and they say no, than, like, it's the thought. Like, it's like we said earlier, like, the thought, like, thank you so much, like, you didn't have to do that. It's just, like, that genuine, like, because it's awkward. Money's hard. Money's a tough subject. That's one of the top five things you don't talk about on a first date is money. So, like, even with your boss, too, and you know that they make more money than you, but you don't want to be rude and have them think that, like, they're just doing everything and paying your bills.
Right.
So I think it's just judge it by the situation and how well you know them. I don't think you can ever go wrong by offering. Like, I think that's always, like, a good thing to do, because the worst that they could say is, sure, yeah, I mean, if anything, write it as a tax write-off.
Yeah, I think, like we said, there's so many different relationships within work and coworkers, and, like, for example, we used to work together.
Yes.
And if we went out to lunch and you bought me lunch, we have this friendship where it's kind of, like, just understood. I don't think we would even have to say it out loud. Like, I got you next time. Like,
yeah.
It would kind of be like that. Like, oh, it's just easier to order together. Let's just put it together.
Put it on the same
next time I'll do it. Or, oh, I'm going to order online so that it's already ready when we get there. Like, I don't expect to, like, split it. And with Venmo, it makes it a lot easier,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to do that. And if you have that notion, like, okay, you guys get it and you're friends and you're close enough. But on the flip side, like, you don't want to get in the habit where, like, you don't already know, like, they always expect you to do that. And that's where you got to, that slippery slope, you got to be careful where it's not, like, someone's always expected to pay, too.
Yeah, and then, like I said, we're close like that, but if my boss bought me lunch or something, I probably wouldn't have this expectation that, oh, I'm going to get them next time, like, it's going to balance out. But I probably, like, if I stopped for coffee within the next week, I probably would shoot her a text and be
offer.
Like, hey, what do you want from this coffee shop?
Yes.
Because I feel like, yeah, that's kind of comparable. Like, you bought me lunch, I can pick up coffee for you.
I agree. That's something different. But always judge the situation, the relationship, and the boundaries of what you know and how close you are. And I think that's always a good thing to consider.
Yeah, and I want to go back to, we talked about a first date, but something that is also interesting with someone after you've gone on that second, third, fourth date, now you're kind of, you might have said, hey, we're official, we're boyfriend, we're girlfriend.
Ooh.
When you are in a relationship for a while, you still have this who pays. Like when we
yeah.
go out for a date, or even we just are hanging out and we stop for lunch, like, do you split it? Does one person pay for it? Is it like we talked about, I got you this time, you'll get me next time?
That's a good question.
What's your thought there after you've been in a relationship for a little bit of an extended amount of time and splitting meals, things like that?
I think it's kind of whatever you guys are both comfortable with. You know, sometimes if you want to split it, you can split it or say, hey, I got it this time, next time you take care of it. I think it just depends on the dynamic of the two people and their relationship, whether, you know, someone's always like, no, I got it, or you want to split it. I think it honestly depends on the people and their relationship, and kind of like, it's weird, but like, it's unspoken sometimes. And you kind of just like, okay, I don't know. That's tough, too, because it depends how long you've known them. Let's say you've known them for longer than you were seriously dating them, or you know them personally, like they're going through a rough patch, and you don't want to, like, always support them, but you want to support them through this time. So I think judging the situation and their in your current relationship with them is really important. And then knowing, okay, I got you this time, next time it's on you. So.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think when you're dating someone, especially if you've been dating them for 6 months, a year, etc., you might stop multiple times a day. So, like, say you buy coffee in the morning for both of us, and, like, I buy lunch later in the day. Like,
there you
said, it's kind of unspoken, though. It's not like, hey, you're going to buy the coffee, I'll buy the
yes,
lunch later.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's where it gets on this slippery slope, because if you, like, plan it out, then that might stress the other person out, or it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, it doesn't need to be like that. So I can understand that. That's a good point.
But yeah, it's definitely something that until you have and if you choose to do this when you get married, until you have a joint bank account, it's something
yes.
that you always are like, all right, like, who's getting this one? Who's getting the next one? And let you figure it out as you're together.
Together,
like
yes.
you said, usually it's unspoken. You don't have to plan it. But it is something that is always there. Like, all right, who's getting this one? And very situational, like you said, whether it be because of a job or because your car broke down and you had to repair something in your car, you just had a big expense. It's constantly fluctuating and changing, so
yeah.
You just have to understand.
Roll with the punches.
Exactly. Roll with the punches, read the room, understand the situation. And a place where that can get tough, and we talked about your boss or a coworker making more money than you, is when you go out with your parents. Someone that has supported
yeah.
you for your entire life, basically, and now you're going out to meals with them. Say it's a $10 meal. These people have supported me my whole life. Do I buy their meal? Do I let them continue to support me? Do we pay for our meals separately? Kind of what's the experience like for you when you go out with your parents?
It's funny because actually I was just on a trip with my parents and we went out of town and we were getting out of a different element and we went to a restaurant. We just wanted to like chill out and relax. And it wasn't super expensive. I think we all got salads, to be honest. We're all trying to be healthy. And, you know, I didn't even think about it. Like, I just grabbed the check and just paid for it. And they're like, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, my treat, no worries. And it, like, wasn't a big deal. But, like, then think about it. Like, a couple weeks ago, I went for, like, someone's dinner for a birthday. And then I offered to, like, add a separate tab because my friend came. But they're like, no, we got it. So it's kind of like what we went back to. Offering and seeing what they say, or like just doing it and not even thinking it because you want to do it. You know, like these are the people that have taken care of you. They've raised you. They've changed your diapers. They've hugged you when you've cried. They've gone through breakups. Like they've done a lot. So sometimes without like, I don't even think about it and I just do it. And I think that's when they appreciate it more in like personal experience. Or I always offer. And I don't think you can go wrong offering with your parents. So
yeah, that's another thing too where like, situationally and depending on what your financial situation, if you're
yes.
able to do that or not.
Yes.
But yeah, it is really nice to do sometimes. And it also depends like everything here. I mean, when it comes to money, it's such an interesting topic because you're always in a different place, things like that. You always just have to like understand what's going on situationally. Like
mm-hmm.
there's times where it might make sense if you stop real quick. My dad and I go to Roberto's every Wednesday.
Oh, love
and
Roberto's.
Sometimes he'll pay one week, I pay the next week. Like, it just kind of alternates, it rotates. But if we went out to a really nice dinner on the Strip, probably, like, one person may not cover it. Like, we may
split it
then, etc. So it just depends on the situation. Now, you said you went out with your family, and that brings me to an interesting question. Was your sister with you?
My whole family was with me. So my sister, myself, my mom, my dad, my sister's boyfriend, and I had my friend and then my cousin. So there was, what, 2, 4, 6, 7 of us at the table? And that was very interesting.
So when you go out with your sister, because that's a whole different relationship, your sibling
yeah.
versus your parents.
Yeah.
Do you pay for them or is it like you're on your own?
Like, all four. Like, it was just, like, my whole family.
If it was just you and your sister going out.
Yeah.
Would you guys pay separately, or would it be a notion of, I'll pay this time, you'll get me back, it all balances out? Kind of, what's that relationship like with your sister?
I think it kind of just depends. Like, it depends on, like, last time we go, she's very giving, so she will go, hey, I'm going to go pick something up, and just brings me something, so then if we go out to dinner, I'll pay. You know, and it kind of just depends on where we are, or if she's done something for me, and I just want to help her out. I think it's just situational. I always offer, though, with her, and I don't mind paying, but I think it just depends. Like, if she had done something for me earlier that week or something, I'll offer to pay, or I'll just do it. Well, I'll just take care of it, and, like, next time it's on you. And I'm more like that than where it's like, nah, you can
Right.
I'd rather just do it, and then I say, just Venmo me, or next time, treat me somewhere to this, or, you know, get my nails done next time.
Right, totally, and I'm pretty close with both my siblings. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and it's kind of the same thing. We definitely, it's like, sometimes someone will buy something, and it's not like, you gotta Venmo me the money right now. Like, no, it's all gonna balance out. You're gonna get me at some point, I got you this time. So I think the biggest takeaway here is, at least for me, if you're going on a first date and you're a guy, you should expect to pay. I'm not
yes.
saying you have to. If you're a girl, I'm not saying don't offer. I'm saying you can absolutely pay if you're a girl. I know there's some girls that like to pay on a first date or split the bill because then they feel like there's not as much of an expectation. It wasn't like this guy fully did something for me. It was a split. And maybe if you feel like the date didn't go well, splitting the bill is an easy way to feel like there's not, you don't owe this person something. And you should never feel that way, even if someone buys you a meal. But the biggest takeaway here would be if you're a guy, expect to pay. If you go out with a coworker, if you go out with your parents, if you're on a date, just make an offer.
I think an offer is always a good choice. You can never go wrong with that, and see what they say.
Exactly, and if they say they're going to pay, I would say you can offer again, but don't offer more than twice, because then it just becomes awkward.
I agree. Don't offer more than twice. Offer for next time. I'll get it next time. Thank you so much. Make sure you always throw a thank you in. I think people really appreciate that, and it goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Last week, we introduced our newest segment, which is Free Play. Free Play is a segment at the end of each show where we ask each other questions about pretty much anything we want to. The name comes after a football play. When you're offsides in football, you get kind of a free play because it's going to get called back. So you can kind of try something that you wouldn't try. You can try and throw a deep pass, throw a Hail Mary, and there's not as much punishment if it doesn't work out because it's going to come back and you're going to get another try. So we're really excited about this segment. We should get a lot of funny moments and can't miss moments where we reveal maybe some secrets, some things about ourselves.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Really dive deep into things that maybe we wouldn't otherwise talk about on the show. But we're going to switch up Free Play segment this week with our hot takes. And this is at the beginning of March Madness, we said based on how our brackets did, whoever's bracket did worse would have to eat a lot of hot sauce and we would put them on the hot seat. Well, brackets got busted almost immediately.
Yes.
March Madness was absolute madness this year. My bracket looked a little bit more like March Sadness.
Oh no.
It was not looking so hot. So we have both agreed to try different hot sauces. We've got five hot sauces sitting here in front of us. What are some of the ones we have?
All right, we got the classic hot sauce. Hot sauce chili habanero. We got dumbass hot sauce, my fave, Pierre de Almas hot sauce, and ghost pepper hot sauce.
These are going to have a sweating.
Oh my goodness,
I
got to
be honest.
Nervous.
And the thing I think we should do here is we'll put some of the hot sauce on a chip. We have some chips here in front of us. We'll react to them. And then I want you, and I'll do the same thing, to give me some of your hot takes. And then I'll comment on yours. You can comment on mine if you agree, if you disagree, whatever your initial thoughts are.
Okay.
And for those of you who aren't familiar, a hot take is kind of an unpopular opinion. Something that people think is like great that maybe we disagree with.
Yes.
Things of that nature. Really just opinions that are unique to ourselves that a lot of other people may not agree with.
All right, who would you like to go first?
Yeah, or do you want to try some at the same time?
Yeah, we could do it at the same time.
Which hot sauce do you want to start with?
I kind of want to try the classic. You can't go wrong with that.
All right, well, let me open that up for us.
Oh my goodness.
Do you like hot sauce? Do you like spicy things?
Here and there.
So if you're at a Thai restaurant, for example, and spice level is 1 through 10, which spice level are you going to choose?
Probably like a 5 or a 6.
Ooh, somewhere right in the middle, huh?
Yes.
What about at a Mexican restaurant? Spicy salsa, the medium salsa?
Probably medium. I'm more of like a mediocre type of hot sauce. I always ask for milk. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous for this. Oh my god, that's so much.
I'll take that one.
Oh my goodness, you guys. It'll be on our social media. Hot sauces, hot takes. Oh,
here you go. I still gave you a lot.
I'm a little nervous, you guys. All right. We're going to eat at the same time?
Yep, let's do it.
All right.
Also, let me say, when you're at a Mexican restaurant, forget the milk. Go for the margarita or the Corona.
You know what? That's even a better choice. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. Okay.
Flavor's good.
I don't mind it. Ooh.
It's heating up. All right. Who wants to start off with the hot take?
Okay, I think you should go first. Woo. Okay, okay. First hot sauce classic. What's your hot take?
My hot take is that maternity photo shoots are really weird.
Oh my gosh. That's all I see on Instagram. There's this one girl I follow. I swear, Andrew, she has taken 7 different maternity shoots. Some with the baby daddy.
We're at the age where a lot of our friends are starting to have babies, and these intimate photo shoots are, I feel like, kind of unnecessary.
You know, they used to just be the classic nude ones, cover the nipple, cover, you know, private parts. Bam, there's the baby. They're just elaborate. They're going to Hawaii. They're going in the jungle. They're doing nothing like the classic Beyonce one, but
yeah, I don't mind you posting pictures of your baby bump, but I don't need pictures of looking like you're going to prom and your boo's got his hands wrapped on your baby bump.
I agree. That's a good one. All right, I'll give you mine and then we'll take another one.
All right, let's do it.
All right, high-waisted bikini bottoms should be banned.
Okay, why? Go on.
They look like diapers, and if they're not worn correctly, they just aren't attractive.
I do agree there are a lot of times where a high-waisted bikini bottom can look like a diaper.
And especially, you know, think about it, like, it's gonna get wet, and like, you know, whenever you wear a swimsuit, you can only wear it for so long because it sags and it gets stretched out and the chlorine, and it's just unflattering. I get it to an extent, but like, you gotta know what works well with your body type, and it's just too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it can look good, but I see your diaper argument.
You got to be careful. It's a slippery slope when you're talking about high-waisted bikini bottoms.
All right, what hot sauce are we going with next?
Okay, this one looks good. Do you want to say the name? Because I think I keep butchering it.
This is the Pierre de Almos. Mono Loco is the brand of it. Don't panic. Stay calm. What you're experiencing is your soul leaving your body through your melting tongue and tears of regret. This delicious super hot sauce was made with love and passion in Costa Rica by crazy monkeys and spicy food lovers. Using only fresh peppers, both ghost and scotch bonnet, and 100% natural ingredients.
Okay, I think we should not put as much on our chip this
time. I think we should put more.
No! I don't think I'm going to be able to do my next hot take.
If I'm being completely honest, I think we should put more.
All right, well, let's try this.
Give you a little bit less than that.
Okay. That's good.
All right.
Oh, shit.
Made by hot sauce lovers and crazy monkeys in Costa Rica, you're about to experience your soul leave your body.
All right, cheers.
They're good. It's interesting because, wow, the flavors are really good when they hit your tongue, but then the chip gets to the back of your throat and
oh my god, my tongue.
Those monkeys are insane.
Uh-huh.
Alright, I'll let you start this time.
Okay. Finstagrams are the best way to stalk an ex.
I agree. Finstas are probably the best place to stalk because you get to see the wild side, but usually you can't see them because they're private.
What if it's public?
I don't know why you would make a Finsta public.
So anybody can see it?
Yeah, but the whole idea of a Finstagram is that it's private.
Can I please get some milk? Like, honestly.
For real?
For real.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully there's some in the fridge. If not, I know there's Coronas in there.
Oh, fuck.
Her soul has left the body, and Sonia with a J is out of the room. She has left the room completely. Her hot take that Finstagrams are the best way to stalk an ex. I completely agree. Finstagrams are going to give you the real side, but you probably aren't going to be able to see them, so you might be disappointed there. But let me talk about something for a minute that I think is a hot take, and it's something that I just, wow, this is hot, something I recently thought of, is that alarm clocks are kind of weird. Oh, man. My soul is starting to leave my body. It's not that the tool of an alarm clock is strange, because it's highly useful. It's something that gets you places on time. But when you set an alarm clock, you typically set it for a multiple of 5. whether that be 6:30 in the morning, 6:45, 7 a.m., etc. Everyone else in the world is doing the same thing, setting it at a multiple of 5. So, if you think about it, at 6:30 a.m., there's just this mass awakening of people everywhere. So, you just think about yourself, the alarm going off, you wake up to go to work to get ready. But if you really think about it, there's thousands of other people all waking up at the same time. So just that thought, kind of a stoner thought, is that it's just kind of strange that we set these alarm clocks and everyone's waking up at the same time. Be unique. Be different. Set your alarm clock for 6:32 a.m. Do something different. Now, I want to go on to another hot take, and I'll try another one of these hot sauces. I think Sonya with a J might be tapped out.
Okay, I'm ready. I got milk. I'm good.
You're going to try another hot sauce?
Just a little, please.
All right, let's go to, we've done...
Wait, you didn't do your hot take.
I did say my hot take while you were gone. I talked about how alarm clocks are strange because there's a mass awakening of people.
I agree.
And to set your alarm for 6:32 a.m. so that you can wake up at a different time than thousands of other people.
All right.
Which hot sauce do you want to try next? We have three left. Ghost pepper, habanero, or the dumbass
habanero.
Hot sauce.
Let's try habanero.
This is the only one that's green. Gotta get some green in your diet. Here you go. Is that too much?
Mm-mm. Oh my goodness.
I'm glad you were able to find milk.
Yes.
Alright, let's do it. You want to go first this time, or you want me to go again?
You go first.
You're not quite ready to speak yet. That one's good, this hot sauce. Honestly, after all the other ones we've had, this one is kind of refreshing. If we had started with this one, we probably would have been dying, but right now it seems nice. I think budget airlines get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of very affordable ways to travel, but people look at budget airlines and say, oh, they're not safe, this, that. Airlines have to all follow the same regulations. They get checked regularly. Budget airlines just provide you with a customizable way to travel that I think a lot of people don't view it that way. They just view it as a cheap ticket, so this is a cheap airline that doesn't really care about, you know, things they do. But I've had great experiences on Spirit, Allegiant, Frontier, all of these airlines, and they have gotten me to incredible vacation destinations for extremely affordable prices.
I would have to agree.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just like, they don't want to say that they're traveling on a budget airline. So that's my hot take. Budget airlines get a bad rap. Travel on budget airlines. I really think it's the way to go.
All right, this is a good one. Leggings are not considered pants.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think high schools across the country agree with that because they dress code girls for that. Why do you say that?
Pants have a zipper. They have buttons.
Do they have to?
Well, like, leggings are made for, like, athleisure wear, so like you're like working out or you're going to do something. So like, if let's say you're going out to like a, oh god, nice dinner, are you gonna wear leggings?
It's situational, but I would say I don't think girls should be dress coded for wearing leggings to school.
Yeah, and you got to be careful too because like jeans will never be see through.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of leggings that can be see through. I see it from that perspective.
I mean, you've got like quality over quantity, and you don't want to bend over and see the color of underwear or no underwear.
Yeah, very true. All right, well, we've got two hot sauces left. Let's eat them here real quick, try them, give our last hot takes, and then we'll wrap things up.
All right, you pick this one.
We'll just do one more. You want to do the ghost pepper or the dumbass?
Dumbass.
Let's do it. I've been called that quite a few times.
You know, it happens.
It's probably honestly not the worst thing I've ever been called in my life, though. I don't know what the worst thing I ever have been called is, but I'll let you give your own here.
Okay.
Let me see how much you got there. That's not even the size of a pea. No, you don't have to do more. I just think it's funny. It's comical.
Okay.
All right. Cheers.
Last one.
Wow, that's hot.
Woo!
Wow. You know that song, Pop to Molly, I'm Sweating? Just pop some dumbass hot sauce. I am sweating over here. All right, you want to give your last hot take, your big hot take of the day?
Underwear. Speaking of underwear.
Wow, you are really stuck on these whole pants and underwear thing.
Underwear should always be worn under jeans.
I completely agree as a guy. I don't fully know what it's like for a girl, but you got zippers there. You got lots of rubbing. The zipper issue is a whole issue that girls don't have to deal with. There's things that can get caught in the zipper you would prefer not to get caught in the zipper. So I will have to agree with you on that one.
All right, I think that's a consensus.
My big one of the day, and I think a lot of people, this wouldn't make them happy, is that family recipes really aren't that good. There's so many people, it can be good, and I know some people, like their grandma, their moms are amazing cooks, but like everyone swears that their grandma's mac and cheese is the best mac and cheese ever. And I just think there's a lot of like family recipes that people are emotionally tied to, and that's why they think they're so good. But there's a lot of times that, this hot sauce, that family recipes and family cooking really isn't that good.
I'm going to have to agree with you. However, there are some good ones that like you can manipulate to for your own taste buds.
Yeah, and it's always hard when you meet someone else's family for the first time and they're like, oh, try this. This is the best mac and cheese you'll ever have. And then you try it, and it's not that good. And it's like, what do you say? Like, they just told me that, like, this recipe has been in their family for 100 years. And it's like, yo, it's just mac and cheese. It's like, what? How special can your mac and cheese be?
I don't think it's only that, but, like, if it's, like, authentic to their culture, and they're like, it's so good, blah, 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 and you're eating it, and then they tell you an ingredient that you don't like, you're like,
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, Sonya's going to go finish the rest of the milk in my fridge. I'm going to go, it's 9 in the morning, I'm going to go have a Corona, maybe two. You know, why not? Screw it. It's the weekend.
It is the weekend.
Follow us, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're available
Spotify.
On all platforms. Follow us on Instagram. Plugged it before. You'll see a little bit more about us. We post some behind-the-scenes things when we tape. Things like that. Definitely get to know us more and share your stories with us. Tell us if you pay on the first date or if someone didn't pay for you, how that went. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
Yes, I'm Sonya with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And
we'll see you next time on the Offsides Podcast. This hot sauce has got our brains fuzzy.
Oh, dear Lord.